Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce's Business Awards, with the nomination period set to close in the coming days. But before we get into that, joining me over the phone is Kojo Ifu, who is the project lead for the municipal census. Kojo, thanks so much for coming back on the show. For those who don't remember, you were here to talk about the municipal census, and the deadline to take part is coming up is the 31st, so we only have a few more days to complete it. What are the latest numbers at? How many, households have we reached? How many individuals have we counted? What's the latest number you can share with us?
Well, before I jump into all of that, Jay, I want to say thank you for having me back again. It's always exciting to speak with you and to speak about the census, one of my favorite topic. Because you know, with the census, I get to see a bit more about the region, understand our community a little better. So it's always very exciting to me to talk about the census. So as of this morning, we've completed about 68% of our total dwelling inventory. So that comes to about a little over 22,000 homes counted. And from those 22 homes, we've counted a total of 53,000 people so far. So there's still roughly about 10,000 homes that we haven't reached yet. But we, like you said, we still got a few days to before we stop the data collection, the infield data collection. So we're really hoping that we can push this number further down from the 10,000 that it is sitting at right now.
How optimistic are you that we can get the majority of that 10,000 in the last one, two, three, four more days?
Well, I'm quite optimistic. You know, residents of this community have rose up to the challenges that we've thrown at them several times in many, many different ways, and I'm hoping that we'll get to a really good number. But in reality, we still have about 4 days left, and since our last interview, our daily enumerations have been really, really up. You know, residents have been responding positively, so I'm hoping that with this interview today, you know, knowing that there's only a few days left, and we're going to get a really, really good boost of responses. Our email inbox have been inundated, you know, different phone calls, and residents have been more than welcoming to enumerators that have been knocking on their doors since the last interview. So, I'm hoping and exciting that we will get that number down. But I also have to be realistic that 10,000 is still pretty large. So, if we can get about 2,000 more of that, that'll be pretty exciting.
Okay, so if we do get that 2,000, I'm taking all the credit because of this interview. So I'm just giving you a heads up.
Absolutely.
I know last time we talked about the importance of the census, and it's more than just a count of how many people live in the region, something that I thought was, you know, I thought of when I grew up. Can you just kind of highlight some of the really important things that the census does for the municipality?
Right. There are many, many, you know, good things that we get from them from the census when we do it. It's a way of taking a look at our community and making sure that we are calibrating everything that we do and how we do it, to calibrate it to the number of to the population of the region, and not just the population as a total number, but you know, the different composition of the population, whether it's some of our municipal development plan, which consists of, you know, how how do we want to, how do we want to plan for the development and the growth of this community, whether it's through some very specific documents such as an area structural plan, which, you know, discusses how in the specific area of the region to grow, or whether it's the the social profit groups wanting to understand the community a little bit more to make sure that they are, you know, reaching their target group and providing the services that they need to provide, or whether there's a need for maybe them to tweak some of the services depending on some the demographic shift trends that they observe through the census. So there's many, many aspects of the good things that we get from the census. But, you know, in this particular census, one thing that's is a bit exciting to me right now in terms of the results that we're seeing back is there's a question that we put in there, or a couple of questions that we put in there, asking folks to tell us about, from the last census in 2018 to now, whether they've stayed at the same location that we counted them at in 2018, or whether they've moved, whether they've moved within the community, or whether they've moved from outside of the region altogether. Mm-hmm. And out of the 53,000 residents that we've counted so far, the majority have been, say that they've lived at the same address from 2018 up to now, which is really good. I find that very exciting. And of those folks that says they've lived at the same address, the majority are telling us that they've been here between 11 to 20 years. So that's a way of us beginning to understand, you know, the transient nature of our population is slowly changing to a more permanent type of population. Because for a while we've talked about how transient population in this region is, but here we are, residents telling us that they've been in this region for about 11 to 20 years, and I find that really, really exciting. But even more exciting is, you know, an option in there where when some residents have told us that they've, you know, between 2018 and now, they've lived outside of the region. So which means they're new residents of our community. So there's about 4,000 of those that we can consider to be new residents of our community since 2018, which is, again, good, because it, you know, often at dinner tables, you know, social groups, you hear folks often saying that people are leaving the region, and that's what you hear often, because, you know, people know someone in their group of friends that have left the region and all that, but we often don't see or don't get the numbers of the folks that are actually coming freshly new mm-hmm. to the region. So this, you know, seeing these numbers that are coming in now already, you know, makes me a bit excited, and I want to see what the final results are going to be, and that's part of the reason why I want folks to really respond so that we can get, you know, absolutely accurate information on this, because then it really informs for a way for us to plan and to have, you know, targeted planning plans and way of approaching the population. But these numbers that are quoted are not the final, because we have to still go through a process of cleaning up the data that we collected and then get to a final number. But for now, the preliminary numbers are, I'm finding them a bit exciting. I guess that's the geeky part of me.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Kojo Ifu about the municipal census.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Kojo Ifu, who is a project lead for the municipal census. And before the break, we are talking about the importance of the census, as the deadline to fill it out is coming up in just 4 days' time. And Kojo, you brought up some interesting points before the break, how you've been able to kind of just see from the numbers that you have so far, a big majority have stayed in the community for a long period of time. And there's also been a lot of new residents. So that's definitely two big numbers to really highlight.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm hoping to When we get the final numbers and we finally clean the data, the other type of demographic characteristic that I'm actually looking forward to also is this the senior population, you know, people between the age of 60 and over. In census 2018, we've noticed that number, that population, that section of the population has grown a bit compared to 2015. So I would really want to keep an eye on it and see if that upward trend of that section of the population is continuing. Because if it is continuing, it's a good thing for our community. It means that we are more and more becoming a place where people want to stay, you know, instead of just a location where folks come to work and then leave at their retirement, or, you know, they don't think this is a place that they can retire at. So if we're beginning to see a growth in our senior population, it's a good thing for the community. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what that number is like once we finish cleaning up the data.
For sure. And I'm sure Willow Square is going to have a big part in that. Maybe not in this census, but in maybe future censuses. But we're running out of time. Kojo, for those who want to take part, I know that there are multiple options. I know you're going to highlight the Pulse line, but other than the Pulse line, are enumerators still going out door to door over the next 4 days?
Absolutely. Enumerators are still going to go around the community. They're going to continue to knock on doors of residents up to the 31st of July at 9 p.m. So that's when, because that's the time we set for enumerators to get off the field. We don't like them to continue more than 9 p.m. because we don't want to disturb residents or anything like that. So on the 31st of July at 9 p.m., enumerators will get off the field, which means they're not going to come around and collect any more information. But residents still have the opportunity to continue to enumerate themselves until midnight on the 31st. As of midnight on the 31st, we'll turn everything off, and that'll be the end of our data collection point. So residents have from now until midnight on the 31st of July to participate, to respond to residents, to reach out for PIN numbers through emails. I know we've got a lot of email requests. We responded to a lot of them. We continue to respond. We respond as fast as possible. But one thing that I want to emphasize for residents is if you send us an email requesting your PIN number, please provide your address in the email, because that's how your address is what we use to search for your PIN and be able to provide it to you. So if you don't provide your address in the email, then we'll have to email you back, and it becomes a bit of a back and forth. So just put your address in the email right away and send it to us. We'll provide you with your PIN. You have until midnight on July 31st to complete the census.
All right. And when do you expect the results to go public?
Well, I won't be able to say now, but we want to put them out as quickly as possible, especially that we've just gone through a pandemic. We want to, you know, take a look at the demographic distribution of the population of the region to see if the pandemic has had any real impact or not. But there's still a bit of data cleaning and data processing and a bit of extrapolation of the dwellings that we didn't reach that we need to do. So that is going to be a bit of work. So I won't be able to say exactly, but typically we try to push the result out early to late fall.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to have you back on to announce some of the results. As I'm actually quite intrigued to see, what our new population is like, and just how many people are here long term. So those are definitely some things I'm interested to know more about. So Kojo, thanks so much for coming back on the show, and best of luck over the next 4 days. I know 10,000 is a big number to reach, but fingers crossed we can get as close as possible.
Thank you, Jay. It's always exciting to speak with you, and it's always exciting to try to reach as many residents as possible with the census.
Once again, that was Kojo Ifu, project lead for the municipal census. You are running out of time to take part. Around 68% of dwellings have been counted so far, with the cutoff being this Saturday. So if you haven't taken part, you can do it online. You can call the Pulse line, as well as enumerators will be going door to door. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce's Business Awards.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to talk about the municipal census. As you are running out of time to take part, you can either do it online, over the phone, or door to door. Now joining me over Zoom are two individuals with the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce. We have Executive Director Diana D'Souza, and we also have the Chair of the Board of Directors, Christy Hines. And we're here to talk about the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce 2021 Business Awards presented by MNP and Stringham LLP. So maybe just to start off, Diana, can you just share a little bit more information for those who don't know what is specifically the purpose of these awards?
The purpose of the awards is to recognize business excellence. So it's an opportunity for our community to recognize, to nominate, recognize, and celebrate our businesses. It's also an opportunity for these businesses to showcase what they do to inspire other businesses to elevate the level at which they operate. It's a celebration of business excellence and people that really invest in our community and invest and elevate their service, their product offerings to enhance our lives and the quality of our lives here in the community.
And how long have the awards been going on for?
So we don't have an exact date, but we believe it's been over two decades that we've had the awards in play. It actually came across at one point in time, the Gold Star awardees from tourism and that was added to it, and it's evolved for us to want to really just recognize business excellence in different categories.
So I know that there are a lot of categories. I have the list right in front of me right now, and I'm trying to count while I talk, and it's not an easy feat, but I believe there's around 15 categories or maybe more, and there's a lot of different ones. Indigenous business, hospitality and tourism, youth entrepreneur. There are a lot of different categories. And I know we were talking a little bit off air, and you were mentioning that there's a couple new ones specifically because of the pandemic, is that correct?
So one of the things is when we were planning the award, we thought that it was a very difficult time for businesses. Mm-hmm. And there was an opportunity to recognize resiliency and courage in the face of a pandemic and a flood. So we added two new categories. One is the Adaptation Award, which nominees in this category must be a business that successfully pivoted in response to COVID-19 and pivoted in an innovative way that allowed their businesses to sustain during closures and pandemic challenges. The other one that we added was the Emerging Entrepreneur. So that would be the person that had the courage to actually open a business during this pandemic. So we put a deadline of after April 2020. And of course, we would also want that person that opened the business to show that it's a sustainable business and that it has growth potential. And those are the two categories that we added.
Yeah. So I'm curious, what's the process like for choosing the winner?
So to be eligible as a valid nominee in any category, the business must have maintained operations in the Wood Buffalo region at the time of awards. They cannot have won a category in the past 3 years. And within the last 3 years, they've had to contributed significantly to the economic and social well-being of Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo and evidence sustained financial viability, growth, and success. And of course, 30% of their annual revenue from any combination can't come from donations, grants, or subsidies. All nominations are reviewed and evaluated by an independent judging committee made of local qualified members of the business community, or I would like to say business leaders within our community. So the Chamber of Commerce staff and the Board of Directors are no longer a part of picking the successful award candidates.
Okay.
And we decided to do that because we wanted it to be, we wanted to ensure the integrity of the Chamber of Commerce awards.
Now, Christy, correct me if I'm wrong. So obviously you're talking right now as you are the chair for the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce, but I'm pretty sure in the past you've been a recipient of at least one award in this. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was the Small Business of the Year Award.
I guess maybe just kind of for those who are maybe in the process, they know that they're going to be nominated. They know that someone's nominating them. Can you just kind of talk about, you know, what was going through your mind when you were presented that award?
Oh, it's quite exciting, of course. It's a great recognition from the community, I guess the business community. And it did help to kind of get some of that recognition of the hard work that the entrepreneur puts in when they're trying to start their business.
And Diana, I know that this is the first time that I've had a chance to chat with you about these awards. You're quite new to the organization. Other than Christy, have you had a chance to hear from any other businesses who are maybe have won previous awards and maybe, you know, just what they were going, or I guess what thoughts they were going through and how they appreciated the whole, you know, award ceremony?
One of the interesting experiences I've had since I've been in this role is I've had businesses that have won reach out to me for logos. They wanted to put it as part of their auto signature on their emails. Or, I mean, we have Suscano who won Indigenous Business of the Year in the past that actually puts it in their radio ads advertising their business. So businesses are generally very pleased and they feel very appreciated. I do know that the Chamber in 2019, and we're going to enhance the format this year, move to Academy Awards styling of the awards. So elevating it. So we do an art showcase while we recognize the businesses. And the feedback from the businesses that in 2019 was that they really felt honored and appreciated. Sure. So they appreciate the recognition of their hard work, but they also appreciated the style that it was done in, you know, on the night of the awards.
We're running out of time here, and we'll get obviously into the process to nominate a business because we are that deadline is coming up. When are the awards themselves being presented?
On October. October 21st.
So what the deadline is coming up at the end of the month, so there's going to be a couple month period to kind of choose all the winners. Again, for those who are interested in nominating a business, how can they do so?
So they can go to our chamber website and go click on the awards tab. You will see all the categories, and then you can just click on the form. It takes you to a Jot form where you can then enter your information, select the award category, select also the size of the business, and then go through the process of saying why you're nominating the business. A pretty simple process. And we really encourage, you know, the community and business out there as well to nominate businesses, recognize those that have really done a great job, great customer experience, or really done something good for the community.
Mm-hmm. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Diana or Christy, but this is just my opinion, but you can flat out tell me that I am wrong. But it seems like it's a great honor to win one of these awards in years past. Is hearing from Christy, and she definitely just talking about it, you can just hear, you know, the emotion coming out. But it just seems like this year, because of the pandemic, because of the downturn, just being nominated itself must be just a great honor for any business. Just I can't even like put into words the struggles that so many have gone through. So to be, you know, put up for an award just to say just how well you've done for the community in such a hard time, I'm sure that must be a great honor.
Definitely. So I would say just being a nominee, and I've actually had businesses reach out to say, can I put this on my website that I was a nominee? Can I use your logo to say I was a nominee in the past? So you are right. Just being nominated is an honor. And after the tireless work, and I mean, it's been difficult, the circumstances that businesses have had to operate with partial closing, reopening, the mental health challenges. So really, if you appreciate a business, nominate them. It will give them an, how do you say, it will lift them, give them an uplift. And I think that is it's a great thing to do for a business right now after everything they've been through.
Once again, that was Diana D'Souza, Executive Director of the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce, and Christy Hines, Chair of the Board of Directors, talking about the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce 2021 Business Awards presented by MNP and Stringham LLP. If you're looking for more information, how to nominate a business, about sponsorship opportunities, all you have to do is head to the Chamber of Commerce's website. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.